Whether you've got hungry millennials to feed or you're just looking for a better way to snack, NatureBox has got you covered. Get 50% off your first order with our link, naturebox.com/RHAP. That's 50% off snacking the smarter way when you go to naturebox.com/RHAP. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with our Survivor exit interview number 8 as Michelle Schubert joins us today to talk about being the first player voted out of Millennials versus Gen X at the Merge. So a lot to get into with Michelle about last night's vote. Plus, Jordan Kalish will join us for the This Week in Survivor History quiz coming up. All in this episode of Rob is a Podcast. Stephen Fishback is on sabbatical these next 2 weeks, so Josh Wiggler stepped in for him. Not enough wiggle room for some people, so we got some extra Josh Wiggler on the podcast to talk about last night's episode on the Survivor Know-It-Alls. That's up right now on robisthewebsite.com. And then later on today, we've got a really jam-packed Thursday with Kelly Wentworth joining me. First recap for Kelly Wentworth since Survivor Worlds Apart when she was on with Farm Guy 69. And then we will get into your voicemails today with Jeopardy Tournament of Champions winner and poker player and all-around funny guy, Alex Jacob, will join us. So get your voicemails in. Go to robisthewebsite.com/voicemail. So a lot to do on a busy Survivor Thursday. So I see that we have Michelle here on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. Michelle, are you there?
Hey, Rob. It's a pleasure.
Michelle, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, so well, disappointed to see you go out last night. I felt like that you were somebody that we didn't really get to scratch the surface of what you could do as a game player. I know we were all very impressed with that Mari vote, and I think people had really big things in their mind for what you were going to do in this game.
Yeah, me too. I feel the same way.
Yes, all right. Well, first off, let's get into this vote. How much of a blindside was this for you? Because I was blindsided as a viewer that you were going to be the person that goes home.
Well, going into tribal, I did not feel comfortable, though I also convinced myself that even if the vote doesn't go the way that I hope it does, there's 13 people, hopefully it lands on somebody else.
Yeah.
And that was a culmination of that uncertain feeling was a culmination.
So coming into that merge, that I think that you were in an interesting position where you were working with the people where it seemed like the power was starting to gravitate towards, where Zeke was working with the Gen Xers that were on Vanua and Adam was working with Gen Xers. And it seemed like that maybe there was a home for you there. Did you feel like that was the case? Because it seemed like then you started working with the Triforce Millennials once those guys showed back up on the beach.
Yeah, there was no progress to be gained at the Vanua tribe for me. We had a pleasant living situation, though when it came to strategy, I was the leper outside the city gates. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't talk to me. They didn't trust me. They didn't like me. There wasn't anything there that I felt like could be done. I was going to keep trying. I was trying every day. I would try to have a conversation with each person one-on-one every day and just see if there's any cracks forming. And I had some information that I was sitting on that I gained from certain people that I was sitting on information that I knew could make a riff. But I wasn't about to pull that out until I needed to.
What was that information?
That information was the moment we hit the beach on the Vanua tribe after the tribe swap. Chris came up to me and told me how angry he was at David the night before, how David blindsided and gave an idol to Jessica and sent home Lucy. He said, you know what? I got in my mind to blindside David. So if it comes down to something, you and me are working together. He said that to me. And I thought, okay, this is great information. Even if it doesn't come to fruition, this is good information to have. And so, I sat on that. You don't want to bring that out too early because then, you know, things change the more time they have to change, as you know. And so I sat on that, and if it was going to come down to that, I'd have to pull that out and tell David, hey, Chris told me these secrets. He told me this is what you did. He told me this is why he doesn't trust you and that he has it in his mind to blindside you. Let's work together. that being said, no, I did not feel like I could trust or work with anybody on that vanilla beach, unfortunately. And I was very happy at the merge to see my trusty friends.
So in the episode last night, when the guys are telling you about the plan and how it's going to be to blindside Adam, you said that you felt like this was a personal move and not a strategic one. Was there any way that you could have pleaded to get the vote onto someone else, or were the guys just dead set that it was going to be Adam?
Oh, no. Yeah, I could have. I absolutely could have done something, and I chose not to. Something you didn't see was that at the end of day one, or maybe at the beginning of day two after the merge, Jay and Will pulled me aside and they said, hey, Michaela was telling Brett and Sunday that you are controlling things and strategizing with everybody and you need to chill. Just relax for this first vote and don't do anything. They, you know, prove them wrong is kind of what they were saying. And, you know, don't show yourself as a threat, because they're going to be looking out for you. And I thought, oh no, like that actually, you know, in my sleep deprived mind, that sounds good. I'll just sit back. I'm not going to do anything for this first vote. And then I'll start my strategizing next vote. Mm-hmm. And that was my downfall, because I had been talking to people. I had been finding riffs. I had the numbers to make a Chris vote. And then when they told that to me, I sat back and I never sealed the deal. And of course, as you know, when you stop talking to people in the game, that's your death sentence. Because if you're not strategizing with me, it means you're strategizing with somebody else. Even though it didn't mean that, I actually wasn't strategizing with anyone. But that's not what it appeared to people that I had been working on trust with.
So last night there were four votes to go against Adam, which is obviously not enough for a majority. Who else did you guys think was going to be voting for Adam, or did you feel like that there was a vote split coming from the other side?
This is what pains me, because I don't even know. When they told me, Michelle, stop strategizing, go sit alone in the hammock, you know, I said, all right. And I just put down the name that they wanted. I did voice, like you saw. I said, no, this is stupid. I said something like that. Like, this vote doesn't make sense. That's stupid. We can do that later. He doesn't even have the numbers. Let's work on something that, you know, actually takes strategy here. And actually, surprisingly, because it didn't make much sense, when we went and told, when Jay went and told Chris to try to rally his numbers against Adam, Chris simply didn't believe that we were voting for Adam. He apparently turned and said, you guys, you're not voting for Adam. That'd be stupid of them. And so he was like, they must be going for one of us. Let's figure this out. I didn't even quite know who was supposedly rallied on our side. And I hate that, because that was the first and only vote that I didn't personally take care of the relationship side, the relational aspect of strategy.
Was there anybody that voted against you that you felt particularly betrayed by?
Yeah. The one that I felt betrayed by was Hannah. Hannah and I really did have like a unique friendship out there. We would pray together morning and night, despite not sharing the same faith. And then, of course, after praying, we would talk strategy and we'd laugh and talk about weird things. So I felt like out of everyone that voted against me, she was the one that I was most disappointed with.
What were the people from Vanua telling you the vote was going to be, or were they just completely freezing you out and not telling you anything?
Yeah, I didn't really talk to any of them, unfortunately.
What was your relationship like with Zeke? Because I felt like that you guys certainly were on the outs going back to the Mari vote, but it did seem like at times that you guys were getting closer together, that I think that you guys were even holding hands as the votes were being read when CeCe went home. So did you have a close connection with Zeke in any way?
Yeah, well, okay, so that's kind of a funny one. I don't really know how to describe it. We did not connect in the Millennial Tribe, in the original Millennial Tribe. I feel like we tried a couple times and it didn't quite work. We were always suspicious of each other. And then at the tribe swap, I felt like we were kind of forced to work together, but we ended up really liking each other. At least I really liked him. And I think it's proven in real life as well. We really like each other. We just didn't trust each other.
Yeah.
So it was kind of this, you can, but you can't work together.
You know, I watched your videos that were on the CBS website in terms of the Ponderosa video and the Day After video. And I really think that everybody should check out the Ponderosa videos. They're always good. And I thought that yours was especially interesting in terms of getting to know more about you as a person. People should definitely check that out. One of the things I thought was interesting that you said that if you play the game again, the two things that you want to work on are that you are never going to stop strategizing. You'll never take a day off from strategy, which I think is certainly a good note. But you said that you weren't going to worry about being trustworthy in other people's eyes. And tell me if I'm misinterpreting what you said. But I thought that that was a curious thing that I feel like I wouldn't ever advise, to not worry about being trusted by other people. What did you mean by that?
I'm trying to actually remember. Was that on the Day After interview?
Day After, yeah.
Okay. I'd have to watch it, but I think part of the reason that Zeke didn't trust me was because I was telling people that I was trustworthy. I think okay. Other people agreed and thought, yeah, she's a nice Christian girl. She's trustworthy. You know, this little, phrase or little, I don't know, comfort to them. But I think with Zeke, I think that was simply the wrong answer for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought, well, if anybody's saying they're trustworthy, they're probably not. That's kind of maybe how I interpreted his reaction to me. And at the same time, I think what I feel like I probably meant would have been that I wouldn't have felt the need to, I wouldn't have felt indebted to anybody at all ever during the game. Mm-hmm. Because part of the reason I didn't go after Chris really hard after the merge, even though I felt like I really could have very easily, was because I made it through the Vanilla Tribe. And okay. Some part of me felt indebted or something. I don't know. And I thought, you know, I'll let him sit for one vote and then I'll go after him. And that was simply, and I did kind of have that feeling like, well, I'm kind of indebted. I'll let him make it through this one vote. And that is, I think what I would have been referring to at that point, thinking, you know, in retrospect, they didn't do anything for me. Nobody does anything for another person, I don't think, as far as votes go, in the game. You know, every decision made by every single person is what they think is the best for their next step.
So when you guys got to the merge, what was the reaction of people when you heard that Michaela got blindsided by Jay at the previous tribal council?
Well, I trusted Jay at that point. So when he told me, hey, Michaela was throwing your name out and I had to do something about it. So I thought, wow, thanks, Jay. You got my back, even though it meant getting rid of Michaela, who we liked and who we, you know, planned to work with further.
And then when you guys went to that first tribal council, do you feel like that in some ways that you might have played that too hard, where maybe you exposed yourself too much early in the game, where people were just very threatened by working with you moving on from that point?
I don't think so. Of course, I think there's a handful of ways it could have gone. But I don't think that it was, I don't think it was a major detriment, if any at all. It was an awesome move. It was cool. It was, you know, it was fun to see how everything flipped so quickly and so easily. And it really did show where alliances sat and who was really trusting me. Or who I was really trusting. I talked about how in kind of a secret scene, a confessional released online, that it was a line, but it was a bit of a fake line because I also really liked Adam and wanted to work with Adam, and he knew that. And I had hoped at the time that we had made this clear after tribal council. Me and Jay talked with Adam and said, hey, you're not on the bottom. Me and Jay want to work with you. I don't know. I don't think that it was too much of a detriment, though it definitely didn't help to have Zeke on the outs come the merge.
All right. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for coming on with us. I'm very much looking forward to seeing how this all plays out and seeing you on the jury, and all the best to you, Michelle. And thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye. Take care. All the best. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Michelle Schubert here on the podcast. I think an interesting player. I feel like that she definitely had something, and I can't really put my finger on it. We saw it in that Mari vote, and there was like a directness that she had in being able to work with people. I do think you have to be careful with that. I do think that she was probably a little too direct with people in the game. But I do think that we didn't get to scratch the surface of seeing exactly what she could have done. So I feel like she's taken from us too soon. Now, why don't we bring in somebody who just keeps serving up softballs, and I just keep knocking them out of the park as I aim to look to go for my 7th consecutive week of winning this week in Survivor History, the quiz. Please welcome back Jordan Kalish.
Hey, Rob, how you doing this week?
Oh, doing good. Doing good.
Same. Doing great.
Yes. All right. Yes. Yes. We're all great again. So, Jordan, let's get into talking about this week in Survivor History, the quiz. You ready? You pumped up?
Are you ready?
Sure. I mean, I'm starting to get a little bit overconfident. I feel like this must have been like what it was like for the hair of just like so far out in front. I've never been in this position before.
Well, you know what happens. Sometimes it looks like you have a big lead. And
come on. No, I'm doing. I'm locked in. I am locked in right now, Jordan.
You are. You're doing a great job with these questions, and I have 6 more for you today.
Okay. Well, we are going to get into the quiz, talking about things going on in the second week of November in Survivor History. But first, let me just thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and those are our friends over at NatureBox. You know, Jordan, some people will go to great lengths just to get their hands on some smarter snacking decisions, breaking into mason jars in the middle of the night, taking all the banana chips just so they have a stockpile to be able to have smarter snacking choices. But you don't need to do that anymore, because NatureBox will do all the work for you.
And do you mean a tailor-lee stocker full of snacks?
A tailor-made snack for you is waiting, because NatureBox delivers tasty snacks made with simple ingredients right to your door. You never have to snack and feel guilty. They've got 100 delicious snacks to choose from, ranging from healthy to indulgent, with no artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners. Of course, I love the pistachio power clusters, the dark cocoa nom noms. That's the reward I'm stealing from anybody if I ever see that they've got one.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And you don't even have to be good with mason jars to eat those snacks.
NatureBox has recently made their service even better. Now you can order as much as you want, as often as you want, with no minimum purchase required. You can cancel anytime. It's simple. Just go to naturebox.com, check out the entire snack catalog, over 100 snacks to choose from. They're constantly adding delicious new snacks. Choose the ones you want, and they'll deliver them right to your door. And with NatureBox, you'll never get bored. There's new snacks every month, inspired by real customer feedback. And if you ever try a snack you don't like, NatureBox will replace it for free. So right now, you'll save even more. NatureBox is offering our listeners 50% off your first order when you go to naturebox.com/RHAP. That's naturebox.com/RHAP for 50% off your first order. naturebox.com/RHAP.
Yeah, it's even better than a mechanical dog.
Yes, yes, yes. All right.
Remember
all right.
That show?
I remember. Okay. So, yeah, Gary Busey had tweeted something the other day, and was something about, like, you know, humans and robots. I'm like, yeah, what about these mechanical dogs? Am I right? He did not respond to that. Okay, Jordan. Yeah. So let's get into the quiz. Where are you going to take us to in the time machine?
All right. I'm going to take you to a really fun episode of Survivor Philippines. This episode is Dead Man Walking. It's from November 7th, 2012, 4 years ago this past Monday. And this is the episode where Jeff Kent goes home.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really, really fun tribal council towards the end of the episode. So I'm going to take you through this one. We actually have four questions from Philippines this week.
Okay.
All right. So question number
four one. Four questions from one episode.
Four questions from one episode, just like last week. And just to remind the listeners and to remind you, you can use your 50-50 on any of these questions. Just letting you know, question number six is not a multiple choice question. So make sure you use your 50-50 on one of the first five questions. And then you can always use your point doubler before I read a question. So, Rob, would you like to use a point doubler on the first question?
Not yet.
All right. While on a riverboat reward, Penner refers to three players in the game as tyrannical bullies. Which one of these players was not part of this three? A, was it Abby Maria? B, Jeff Kent? C, Pete Yerkowski? And D, Artis Sylvester?
So at that point in the game, that the people at the merge looked at the Triforce of Artis, Abby Maria, and Pete Bro as the tyrannical bullies, and Jeff Kent was not part of that group. So Jeff Kent, not a bully.
You are correct. Even though Jeff Kent did try to vote out Penner in the previous episode, and he did want to vote out Penner in this episode until Penner, of course, won immunity. But no, Jeff Kent was not one of the tyrannical bullies. It was Abby Maria, Pete, and Artis. And I think on this question, you're sort of able to use the which one of these is not like the other category.
Although, in fairness, at the Los Angeles Know-It-Alls we did last season, I believe Jonathan Penner did say of the non-bully Jeff Kent, he said, Jeff Kent wouldn't pee on your head if you were on fire.
I do remember listening to that, which is a great line. But nope, not a tyrannical bully. He just doesn't believe in fire safety.
Yeah, what's more bullying, not putting you out if you're on fire or peeing on you?
I mean, I think peeing on you is really bad.
Let's not get into it. You know, let's not explore this. Let's not
even ask this.
Yes, I'm sorry. That although for one member of the Tandang tribe, they always prefer to be put out when they're on fire. Okay. All right. Let's keep going.
All right. Question number two.
We don't need to explore the other thing with that person from Tandang. All right.
Yeah, exactly. You're one for one. And would you like to use your point doubler on question?
I would not.
You would not. He's going for the 1 point question. After Pete confronts Malcolm about having the hidden immunity idol, why does he come away from the conversation believing that Malcolm doesn't actually have it? A, Malcolm says that he would have used the idol once swapped to Tandang before the merge if he had actually had the idol. B, Malcolm convinces Pete that Lisa only told him that he has the idol because she's trying to make him paranoid. C, Malcolm freaked out when confronted and therefore couldn't actually have it. D, Malcolm is too calm during the confrontation to actually have the idol.
I actually don't know the answer to this off the top of my head. I think I have a guess. Let me use the 50-50 here.
Okay, so the 50-50, I'm going to knock out A and B. So did Malcolm freak out when confronted and therefore he couldn't actually have the idol? Or was Malcolm too calm during the confrontation to actually have the idol?
Yeah, Malc freaked out.
He did freak out. You are two for two. Congratulations. Which, it was a really weird scene because Pete's having this this conversation with Malcolm. And I remember when I was first watching this episode, I started to think, you know what? Pete's actually a really smart guy. He was able to just get the information out of Malcolm that he has the idol because Malcolm's facial reactions, he was so, he could tell that he was really trying to hide something.
Yeah, but he bought it.
Then he bought it. He got the confessional from Pete saying, oh, he freaked out. There's no way he had it, which is the opposite of what most people would consider logic.
Not a good read from Pete Bro. No.
Or a Josh.
No, not good.
But, you know, Pete's plan did work out this episode. So it's all good in the hood.
Okay. All right. Two for two.
Yep. So question number three, you've used your 50-50. Would you like to use your point doubler?
No, I'm good.
All right. Who claims to be playing the mastermind role before Tribal Council? Is it A, Jeff Kent, B, Malcolm, C, Abby Maria, D, Pete Mikowski or Yerkowski?
I would say, if I had to guess from this group, and I don't have a good read on this, or a Josh, and I would say
Pete only because that he seems like the person most likely to make that comment, but I do not have a lot of confidence, and I don't know if you'd have two Pete questions in a row. So I'll say Pete, but I don't feel good about it. Not final a lot answer? Of confidence. Yes, final answer.
Rob, you went with your gut, and your gut was telling the truth. You are correct. You're 3 for 3. Very good. Pete Yerkowski did say that he was in the mastermind role, and you know, in this episode, I wouldn't necessarily call him a mastermind for certain reasons, and one of them had to do with the last question. His plan did work, and he was able to get Jeff Kent out of the game.
Get over it.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Abby. I didn't know Abby Marie was here.
She's here.
That's awesome.
With me, your dad.
Oh. I'm not effing with you, Abby. I'm just asking Rob some questions.
Okay. All right.
Abby Downer.
You are 3 for 3, Rob. Abby, you are 0 for 0.
Oh.
And we have one more question from Survivor Philippines. This is question number 4. Would you like to use your point doubler?
I'll say yeah. I feel pretty good about this. I podcast about Survivor Philippines. I watch it in the Evolution of Strategy. So God knows where you're going to take me next. So
have no idea where you're going next.
Let's go for this.
All right. So this is going to be a 2-point question. And if you get this right, actually, if you get it right, it will put you over the top. Even if you didn't use the
OTT.
Yes. OTT, Survivor OTT, which I hope is never a thing. At Tribal Council, the vote went 5-4-1 with Jeff Kent going home, Pete getting 4 votes, and Abby getting 1. Which player was not clued into either of the plans to vote out Jeff or Pete and instead voted for Abby? Was it A, Penner, B, Denise, C, Malcolm, D, Carter?
Well, I do know that the person who cast the 1 vote was the great Jonathan Penner.
You have won the game, Rob. Congratulations. Awesome job. That's the ding. That's the bell that I spent a lot of time going schlepping around the city for you during Know It All. So that's a lot of fun.
Yes.
And you are a winner of the game. So congratulations. And we still have 2 questions left. We can go for the 7-point perfect week. You haven't had a perfect week in a while. You've actually gotten 2 5s in a row. But you can do it this week.
Okay, we'll see. I liked when also the next episode where it's like the next day and they're trying to explain to Penner. And Penner's like, what happened? And they're like, no, you voted for Abby Maria. You were supposed to vote with us. And he's like, those are the breaks. He's like, all right. Well, easy come, easy go.
Yeah, well, you know, it worked out for him for at least a little while with Jeff Kent going home, because Jeff was dead set on getting Penner and scooping as the returning players out.
It was fine. It was fine. Okay.
Yep. Okay. We are now going to go to Survivor Blood versus Water. This is November 6, 2013, 3 years ago this past Sunday. And we're only doing one Survivor Blood versus Water question here. So the question is for number 5. Like yesterday's Survivor Millennials versus Gen X episode, the tribes on Survivor Blood versus Water merged. What was the merged tribe name? Hmm. Was it A, Bula Bula? Was it B, Galana? Was it C, Alubaki? Or D, Kasama?
Boy. None of these sound super familiar. Could I hear them one more time?
Was it A, Bula Bula? B, Galana? C, Alubaki, D, Kasama.
Boy, the last two don't sound familiar at all. I don't think it's... What was that? What was B? Kasama?
B was Galana.
Galana. It's either A or B. I'll go with A. Sounds slightly familiar.
Unfortunately, Rob, you are incorrect. So you still have 6
what
points.
What was it,
B? You're yourself 5 points. It was actually D. It was Kasama.
Kasama. So,
yeah, Bula Bula was A. That was the merged tribe in Fiji. Galana was a combination of Galang and Tadhana, which were the 2 tribes of that season, which I made up. Alubaki is Ikabula backwards, and Kasama is the correct answer. That was the merged tribe on Survivor Blood versus Water.
Yeah, okay, my bad. That I feel like that they did not say. Was it even said in an episode? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure if it was either, but it was definitely on the screen, and it was definitely the name of the merged tribe. That's a tough one. You don't really talk about the Kasama tribe too often. I mean, you talk about it, but you don't talk about the name of the tribe. So that was a little bit of a tough question. I had fun making up the Alubaki and Galana tribe name.
There you go. Okay. You're a real Eric Reichenbach.
Exactly. Dabu.
Yes. All right. One more question. No perfect week.
No, no perfect week, but you still win the game. And we have one more question left. This is not a multiple choice question.
Okay.
After viewing the Survivor Wiki, I noticed that this week in Survivor history has not been kind to Andrew Savage. He was voted out in both Pearl Islands on November 6, 2003, and in Cambodia on November 11, 2015. In the tribal councils where he went home, who did he cast his votes for?
Okay. In the tribal councils where he went home, who did he cast his votes for? So back in the Pearl Islands, I believe he cast his vote for Fair Play. And last year, I believe that he cast his vote for none other than the woman I'm going to be speaking with on Thursday.
Hi, I'm Kelly Wentworth, and I just idled Andrew Savage out of Survivor Second Chance.
So I am going to go with my final Jeopardy answer of who is Johnny Fairplay and Kelly Wentworth.
Johnny Fairplay and Kelly Wentworth are both correct. Rob, very nice job. Johnny Fairplay, Andrew Savage was the merge boot in Survivor Pearl Islands. His tribe voted for Fairplay, who received 4 votes in the tribal. And then Wentworth, yes, Wentworth did receive 9 votes in a tribal council. It was the most ever that was negated by a hidden immunity idol. So Wentworth, and that one tied in perfectly with for this week, with Wentworth being the guest. And also with Savage being voted out twice in Survivor history.
Wow. And it was on This Week in Rob is a Podcast history that Josh Wigler hosted an exit interview with the aforementioned Andrew Savage that I listened to in the delivery room as we waited for young Anthony Cesternino to be born, who is celebrating his first birthday on Saturday. So
happy birthday to Anthony. I thought we weren't allowed to talk about This Week in our HAP history anymore, though.
Well, we could bring it up. It was more a means to an end to say an early happy birthday to Anthony.
Yes, very happy birthday to Anthony.
Anthony. Yes. Okay.
And I hope it's a good one for him. Don't remember my first birthday. I don't think anyone does, but I'm sure it'll be a great time for you guys. And, good luck with everything.
Yes. All right. Jordan Kalish is the red hot Twitter of Jordan Kalish.
Yes.
Jordan Kalish, picking up followers left and right at this point.
Losing some followers. But you know what? It's my Twitter account. I usually just talk about Survivor, but sometimes I talk about other topics too. If you want to check that out, check out the Twitter. But very nice job today. You don't get the perfect 7, but you do get 6 points. There are only 6 questions, so I consider that a very good week.
Do you think I will lose another week before the end of the season?
I think you will. I think you're going to lose one more this season.
Yeah, You think it's going to be as we get towards like finale week? You think that maybe that might not have like a, because the finales, that there's just like a lot of stuff that happens in the finales. I feel like that those are like 3 hours of Survivor in some of those weeks. So there might be stuff I might not have like really, sort of top of mind.
That's a good point. Most of the finales, or not all of them, but a lot of them do fall on the same week. So that is a potential for some losers, but I got to go talk to Nick Fishman and get some more Nick Fishman questions, because some of those were stumpers.
Okay. All right. Good stuff at Jordan Kalish. Take care, Jordan.
You too. Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Jordan Kalish on This Week in Survivor History, the quiz. And once again, I am victorious on what a streak that I'm riding as we go into week 9 coming up next week on the show. All right. So we've got a great show coming up later on today. Kelly Wentworth is going to be joining me. We get your questions in either on our Facebook page, or you can email them in survivor@robhasawebsite.com. And that's probably, if you're listening to this, like in the first hour or so that I posted, because I'm going to be speaking with Kelly probably around 3 p.m. Eastern time is when we're scheduled to go with that. Then your voicemails, still time to get those in. robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP with Alex Jacob. Looking forward to all of that. Plus, we've got plenty of BBOTT coverage. Jordan Parhar was live after the double eviction. Team Brent is going to be back at it in the So You Think You Can podcast competition on Thursday afternoon.
I'll be back talking BBOTT on Friday. That's all available to you on the website at robisawebsite.com or by subscribing to the podcast. And of course, as we are moving along here in November, we greatly appreciate you using our links for Amazon to do any sort of holiday shopping that might be around the corner. robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Have a good one, everybody. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say in the comments, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.